You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Second half of the show, we're live at SEC Media Days. We have had quite an afternoon here as Nashville comes alive on a hot July afternoon. You've heard the commissioner. We just got through talking to Jimbo Fisher, Coach Drink. Is coming up here stateside, and we look forward to talking to the Missouri coach. Coach, it's good to see you.
Great to see you, Paul. How's everything going?
It is going great. I'm curious. I saw a game you lost vacated the other day. Do you guys get any credit for that?
Man, Paul, I've tried all day not to say anything, but I appreciate you teeing me up on that. All I'm going to say is I'm not saying anything. I don't know how that works, actually.
I mean, I don't know about you.
Yeah, how does that work?
It would bother me to play a school that clearly has to get rid of the victory, but you're still saddled with the loss.
All I'm going to say is I called it last year on the radio and got beat up for it. But anyway, I'll go for it.
You are a new and improved Coach Drink this year, aren't you?
You know, here's the deal, Paul. As I was preparing for this, somebody sent me the Serenity Prayer. You know, to accept the things that I cannot change, have the courage to change the things I can, and have the wisdom to know the difference. And our football team is so strong. Our guys have worked so hard for this year. We return 18 returning starters. Our coaching staff has worked extremely hard. I don't want to say anything that takes the spotlight off those guys. These guys deserve all the opportunity that they can to have the rest of the country know how strongly we feel about them, and then we got to go prove it. We've got a lot of things that we got to work on to prove, but I don't want to be a sideshow or Twitter fodder, and I sure as heck don't want to cause any more bulletin board material to put us behind. I at some point I'll say something crazy. I've had plenty of viral moments. I've done that. Let's focus on what's important
okay,
for us, which is
but
football
I wonder,
team. But I do think that was a very interesting question. You know, I don't know how that works when teams vacate victories. I don't know if I don't know how that works.
I was just thinking.
yeah, I was too. Hey, fortunately for me, the board's already given me a contract extension, so that's not going to affect that one way or the other. So that's good. That's positive.
Do you I feel like you are, even when you're trying not to be, a very entertaining guest.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Do you have to guard against that? Because
yeah, I do. I honestly do. That's where I get into trouble is I honestly just start talking and you know, think they're funny answers or good answers, but then I look back or they're taken out of context in a certain way. And you're like, you know, again, it takes the focus off what's really important, which for me, again, goes back to we got an unbelievable defense. We've got 8 returning starters on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. You know, we've got a new offensive coordinator. We really got a chance to be explosive. The schedule sets up for us in a way that gives us an opportunity to gain some momentum early. We've got a really tough challenge, play K-State at home, the Big 12 champ, play LSU, the SEC West champ. You know, so we got a challenge. Any game in this league's a challenge, but with any challenge, you got an opportunity. And for the first time since I've been here, I feel very equipped on the defensive side of the ball, the offensive side of the ball, with our coaching staff in place to really attack the challenge.
Man. Coach Drink going coach speak on us here.
You like that? I don't really like it, to be honest. I really don't.
Hey, last
like
year
it.
You were quoting Luke Combs. Now you're quoting the Serenity Prayer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, I will say this: they did it. We did do a record shoot with and I had him put on Record Year by Eric Church.
I like that song.
Yeah, I like that song a lot. So hopefully that's kind of a prelude.
Well, there's a lot of bite to that song.
A lot of bite to that song. Yeah, a lot of bite to that song. So. You want to hear interesting stuff. I mean, where are you going with this conversation?
I really don't.
You don't know?
I don't have any idea anymore. I had an idea, but it's out the window now.
Yeah, I know. You were setting me up, and I avoided it. You know, I looked at the schedule, and I didn't see you on there, you know, and so I was like, well, crud. They let me off easy, and then they tried to trap me. But I'm gotten wise.
See, I don't know they do that. I know what my reputation is. But even with Coach Fisher a minute ago, I tried to let him go wherever he wanted to go, and, yeah. and that's how I thought the same would be for you.
Yeah.
I am not a gotcha guy.
No, I know you weren't trying to get
me. Used to be.
You did? you know what you've done a really good job of is you let the fans kind of just be the sure. gotcha guys now, yeah. and then you respond.
I mean, when you have callers like we have on this show, you don't need to get coaches to say stupid
You're
things.
Right. You're right. I tell you what's interesting. You want to hear a funny story? This
sure.
summer, go out, rented a house down in the beach, took my family down there. There's a riptide in front of us, so they tell us we got to move 100 yards down the beach. So we walk down the beach, and I look, and this guy starts walking towards me, and I'm like, man, that guy looks familiar. Mark Stoops. So in this country, in this league, man, you can't avoid SEC head coaches. They're everywhere. So, you know, told him Kentucky sucked. He started having a good laugh about it and traded a few lines. And then both of us said, hey, man, we're on vacation. Let's, you know, go our separate ways.
Can you can you ever really, though, get away?
No. No, this day and age, when your phone's with you, you know, we were on vacation, but we had a streak there. We had like 7 commitments in 4 days. And so, you know, organizing that, making sure the social media teams are in place, making sure your phone calls with the parents and all that, there's no chance that you're taking a break from that opportunity. And then, you know, getting updated on what's going on with your team. We're on vacation. Our team's still there working out. You know, they usually are taking a break during May. So you're constantly on the phone working. But you try to – I thought Marcus Freeman had a great time. You try to strike a balance, you know, or a blend to vacation and family and try to work them together the very best you can and try to find those moments that you can kind of escape. My girls went to the Taylor Swift concert with my wife. So they went and did Swifty, and I took the two youngest, and we went and met dolphins and got to touch dolphins and do all that. So, you know, I mean, you try to find the moments. I felt like that we had the best afternoon.
I mean, you're a country guy, I know. We've had the conversation, but are you – I mean, I'm not asking you to criticize Taylor Swift.
No, I mean, the funniest thing was realizing how many of those songs I knew. You know, obviously Tim McGraw, that song.
I like that song. That was her first big song.
That was her first big song. All the way to Fearless, which is my daughter Ella's favorite song, you know, that she's had a lot of big hits.
Yeah, she's doing okay.
Yeah, she's doing okay. She's doing okay. I was just surprised.
She doesn't need a contract extension.
Well, yeah, when Luke Combs was there, he had Patrick Mahomes come out and shotgun a beer. So I thought for sure, like, Taylor Swift would have somebody, you know, come out and shotgun a beer.
But there's really nobody
worthy. No. Chiefs got to keep winning to get that. Maybe Andy Reid could get out there next time, have a hamburger with her.
Yeah. You mentioned your phone, and I was somewhere not long ago, and nothing was happening in my world. I'm not responsible for anything like you are. And it was a nice feeling just to, you know, go out and take a walk and leave your phone home.
Yeah.
I would think you can't do that.
No, well, not very often.
How far away from that phone can you get?
Probably 30 minutes, 45 minutes. I think that's probably the longest that you can kind of leave it without checking it just to make sure there's nothing really going on.
And does most of it involve the state of your team and recruiting?
Yeah, the state of your team and recruiting, just because there's constantly things going on with your team. And anytime you're involved in the lives of 180 people in your organization,
right.
there's always something going on. And I think, honestly, that was one of the biggest challenges for me becoming a head coach was you have assistant coaches who have extended families, and they have either deaths in the family or things going on in their families that they need to make you aware of, so they're going to have to miss work, or a player's got this going on with their family, and you having to juggle all of those stresses but still move forward while being sincere with understanding, hey, you got to go handle this, but as a team and as an organization, we got to continue to move forward. You're constantly battling that, and a lot of that's through your phone. When you're recruiting, you know, now that you recruit the transfer portal, you recruit your own team, you recruit high school recruiting, you're not just recruiting high school seniors, you got juniors, you got sophomores, you've got kids in the 2025 class already committing. So it's a constant trying to make sure everybody feels associated with the head coach of the University of Missouri.
You brought it up, the contract extension.
Yeah.
It created some conversation out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that something that is important? Yeah, there is a question. There.
Okay, sorry.
How important is that for recruiting to have the university say, we're behind you?
I think for me it was a tremendous gesture by President Choi, Desiree, and the board for them to say, we believe in what you're doing and we believe and see the progress that you're making. I think it was a vote of confidence to our staff. And to the recruits that we're recruiting that says, hey, we know that the direction that the University of Missouri football, we believe in the core values, we believe in the mission and the goals that Coach Drinkwitz has, and we're committed to seeing those through. And not only did we do it through a contract extension, we did it through redoing the weight room, we did it through just opening a brand new $35 million end zone facility. We've done that through the Southeast End Zone Project, putting lights on the practice field. Those things would show that we want to compete at the highest level. And we know that stability in an unstable environment is the best way to produce continued success. And while that creates, you know, all kinds of conversation, outside noise, the reality of it is the people that have the say made the decision. And like I said, what it did for me and our staff is, okay, now let's go prove them right. Instead of trying to prove people wrong all the time, let's go prove people right. Let's go prove that the people that believed in us the most were right. And that's a different type of excitement and work. It's a different inside-out approach. Instead of believing all the noise and negativity and trying to fight against that, it's believing, it's saying, okay,
I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody use that phrase.
Yeah.
Because even the previous coach here was talking about proving people wrong. That's just natural to...
Yeah. But you know, when you're constantly trying to prove people wrong, you're proving against negativity, right? When you try to prove people right, you're believing in the good things in life. You're believing in the positive energy. You're believing in the positive things, in love, in encouragement. And that's what I want to believe in. I want to believe that, man, people really believe in who we are. And when somebody believes in me, man, that's a powerful thing.
Okay, final question here. I know you have to go.
I don't have to go. Well, I'd rather just stay.
I would like you to stay because I'm eventually going to get back to the first question.
Yeah, I know you are.
If you start winning like you believe you can in the university, do you think that will make you more entertaining at these events than you are today?
You know, I was just talking. Can you imagine if Coach Spurrier had social media back in the day? I mean, what an unbelievable person that would have been. No, I think, again, for me.
So you want to be, because you have a lot of Steve Spurrier in you.
I mean,
you're kind of a swashbuckler. You walk in and.
Yeah. I sure enjoyed playing some golf with Coach Spurrier this past April, and it was one of the highlights of my life so far to have an opportunity. I never in the wildest dreams thought I'd get the chance to play 18 holes of golf with Steve Spurrier.
I hope you weren't his partner.
I was, and he was like, "You're terrible at golf."
Because I've had that experience.
Yeah, he actually said
he treats the partner like the quarterback after an interception.
Yeah. He told me you hit some uglies. That was his line. Hit some good shots, hit some uglies. No, honestly, I want to be who I am, but I want to be cognizant of, again, it's not about me. It's about the University of Missouri. It's about our football team and what we're trying to accomplish. Regardless of whether or not we win or lose a lot of football games, I'm very confident in who I am and what I've been able to be blessed with. I know I've got a beautiful wife and four daughters and a great family, and I got a faith and belief in who I am and a belief in God's purpose for my life. And winning and losing is never going to affect that. But what winning will do is it'll prove people right. It'll prove a lot of people right who believed in me, a lot of players who said, hey, we're going to come back because we believe in what you're trying to build, a lot of coaches who said, hey, Eli, we're sticking with you. I know there's a lot of people that say can't get done here. We believe you can get it done. So for me, that's all I want to do. I want to prove those people right. And talking about it don't really get it done. You know, there's a line back. Here's a line for you.
Okay.
Talk's cheap. Takes money to buy whiskey. And we're done talking. Let's go prove it.
I liked it. The new.
Just the new.
Coach Drink.
Right, just, I've had plenty of viral moments, man. I don't need to trend on Twitter. I got burned in Destin.
I'm not sure that was all fair, but I felt
don't matter.
Mildly responsible for even bringing it up when I saw you. But
it don't matter. It is what it is.
No. One thing we don't want to do is make our coaches uncomfortable when they're in front of these lights. So
I'm not uncomfortable.
When do you think I'll be able to ask you that question again about – about Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee.
Hey, man, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Smart.
Yep.
Because I know how you feel. We'll take a short break. Coach, this was fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Always do.
All right. M-I-Z.
We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back in Music City, day one of SEC Media Days. We have spent the last 45 minutes up here talking to Jimbo Fisher and Coach String. Now we have Chris Doering and Benjamin Watson.
Paul, okay, let me interrupt you for a second. All right?
I wish you would.
I was sitting here. You asked me how things are going. I try to lament about how busy it is. You've been doing this far longer than I have. Like, how many Media Days is this for you?
The first one, I believe, was 85.
It was what, one day back then?
It was interesting. It was maybe 3 days, but the one day consisted of morning golf,
of which with the coaches
of which Spurrier participated the first 2 years. Probably the best PR move I've ever seen anybody do. I don't think people realize he just wanted to play golf. Uh-huh. And then they stopped that. But it was held in Birmingham. Very few people. Before then, as you probably have heard the stories, not to wax poetic, and I was not part of this, and I'm glad I wasn't, because based on all the things that I know happened, they had the Skyriders tour, Benjamin, where they had three planes that were clearly left over from World War II.
might not get back down out of the sky.
And they went, a group of old, grizzled newspaper and TV people would go to... They'd go to like Auburn in the morning, Alabama in the afternoon. But they just didn't like get on the plane and write their stories. I mean, these guys went to the coach's house. And I'm talking Bear Bryant. It didn't matter. Pat Dye, Steve Spurrier, of course. Well, excuse me, Spurrier wasn't there yet. But and it was a... it was about a 2-week-long drunk fest.
did you get any information, though? Were there any good stories?
There's a great
out?
Story.
Like football stories.
About two writers went down to Auburn and at the end of a long night at Pat Dye's house. And I don't want to act like people didn't know who Bo Jackson was. They did. Yeah. But he wasn't the number one player in the state. He wasn't even number one running back Auburn High. I had a coach tell me guys that he was an offensive coordinator at the time, told me that he was listed 5 on the depth chart in terms of their best.
Wow. I mean,
they had Lionel James. Yeah. They had some really good players. And Pat Dye said, forget Herschel, this guy. And so they wrote about it a couple weeks. So they would go home and write because they were too
hungover every night to do their job.
It's hard enough to do this for 4 nights. 2 weeks sounds excessive.
It finally ended, I'm told, not to take up your valuable time.
I don't care. This is fascinating.
This is SEC history. Like,
yeah. It finally ended in Lexington on the final night, and the writers got so drunk that they had a toga party where they all dressed up. And somehow a brawl broke out. And that was it.
They shut it down.
The conference finally said, we're done. We're not. We can't. And that was the birth of Media Days, I think. This was told to me by people that were on that trip.
Yeah.
So basically they had to put up some guardrails.
I was worried about them bringing us to Nashville. I mean, it's hard enough to focus when you're in Hoover, let alone being here in Nashville, man.
And I'll tell you, it's hard to believe. I was actually too young at the time to be on the Scott Riders tour. That shows you how long ago it was. But it would have, I'm sure. I mean, it's so different. I mean, there were not that many people who participated. So you knew every coach.
Yeah. Did you come as a player? Yeah, did they bring you as a player?
What I was about to say was, even when I came in 2002, it was different than it was now, than it is now.
They didn't bring three players back when I played. I think it was only one or two.
It was three of us. Yeah. Three of us flew over from Athens, and we were all excited because we got to get on a small
PJ.
More like a Cessna, you know. There was no leather in there or anything like that, but we got to fly over to Birmingham. That was exciting, but it was nothing like it is now.
I'm trying to remember. I once flew by – Who would have been the quarterback under Ron Zook at Florida?
Chris Leak?
No, it was before that.
Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Rex. Zook and I had an appearance that night in Mobile, so we got on the plane, and I remember just listening to Rex. I mean, he was like bug-eyed. I mean, I think he was a Heisman possibility at the time.
Yeah, he was. Well, I think he finished second in the Heisman, didn't he?
Yeah. And again, I think we forget. You guys don't forget, but I mean, you would have played in the SEC Media Days era, but I mean, I think we often forget how big it is to the players.
It's a huge deal for the players. I mean, the thing that impressed me the most, even last year coming to SEC Media Days in Atlanta, was even the fashion. Yeah. And I'm thinking back when we went to SEC Media Days. We're scrambling trying to get a blue blazer and some khakis.
Don't say me. They didn't bring me. I didn't get to come. I mean, I didn't start coming here until I was covering it.
They take it serious because, it is an honor to be here, to be chosen. The players that coaches pick to bring to Media Days are leaders of the team, obviously on the field, but also off the field. They're the guys that they're going to rely on. So it's an honor to be
going coached. Back to your statement about Rex Grossman, one of my favorite things that I witnessed was, I obviously knew the hand signals from Coach Spurrier's offense. He's gone. Ron Zook's the coach. And Rex Grossman is checking to Taylor Jacobs out there with old Spurrier plays. Forget about the offense that we're running now. We're going back to some of the old Spurrier plays, which was kind of cool to see.
No. So it is amazing. I would think it's a little overwhelming now for a player when you come in and there's just so much attention and so much tumult.
It's a new era, though, I think. And even in the way the players communicate – now, being able to speak on camera, being able to
feel the media training that they go through.
That's what I'm saying. Being able to feel those types of questions. Yeah. There's an entire department in media training, what to say, what not to say, how to say it, but also the advent of social media, everybody having their own platform.
Well,
doing
you're
your own
motivated
videos,
to do more, I think, interviews and stuff because you're getting your brand out there, more NIL opportunities.
It's a different era, which is great.
Speaking of a different era, What are you guys intrigued by, interested in this week?
I'm interested in the quarterback dynamics in this league. You got half the teams that you feel like have set quarterbacks, and then the other half, you're not sure who's going to end up winning the job. And nothing more intriguing to me than the Alabama situation. I mean, we went from Jalen Hurts to Tua to Mack and then to Bryce. Now we don't even know who it's going to be, so much so that they go out and get Tyler Buckner from Notre Dame. Everybody's fascinated by the shiny new toy coming in. So
of course.
I honestly believe that that's going to be the thing that maybe I'm most intrigued about the most, is watching who's going to end up winning that job and ultimately what they're able to do in a new style of offense under Tommy Rees.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that a week into the season, none of these conversations will even matter because there will be a guy that will be chosen to be the starter. I look at Alabama and the way they've been picked to win by many people to win the West. And then I look at LSU and I think, why aren't they in that conversation, considering all that they did last year?
I think that's because I boldly said to somebody, I'm sure Alabama will be picked. And the guy said, no, they won't. LSU's going to be picked. I mean, we haven't had that conversation in a long time. Yeah.
Did you see the FPI? FPI has Ohio State and then Alabama as better odds to win the national championship than what Georgia does, which I think, given all Alabama's lost with Bryce and both coordinators, like
Vegas loves.
Hard to believe.
Vegas and power indexes. I don't know whether Nick Saban gets an extra 5 points or not, but you're right.
Well, they've seen him do it before. Yeah. And if anybody can do it, if you're going to bet your money, you're going to bet on Nick Saban. Even if he has new coordinators, even if he has a new quarterback. I mean, he's done it year in and year out. Coordinators come to his place to rehab, win a national championship, and then go off and do other things. And so you're going to bet there. But if I'm looking at the body of work from last year, and to your point, Chris, about quarterbacks being uncertain, I look at LSU and say, man, you've got a guy in Jaden Daniels that is proven, that is only going to get better in this system. You've got weapons in the wide receiver room. You've got a D-line that is tops in the nation. I mean, there are so many things to be – to look forward to in LSU in the West, that they've got to be in that conversation if you're being objective.
You know what's funny? I feel a bit hypocritical because I look at Alabama and say, all right, well, they lose
you're
both
on TV
coordinators.
Today, you're supposed to be
naturally hypocritical, right?
Yeah.
But they lose both coordinators. They lose their quarterback, and I'm docking them for that. But then I look at Georgia. They lose their offensive coordinator in Todd Monken. They lose their starting quarterback in Stetson Bennett, and I don't hold the same grading scale against them. Maybe it's the talent around them. I have – concerned about the offensive line for Alabama. They haven't been up to the Tide standard. The receivers have not been up to what we've expected. So Bryce Young single-handedly probably carried them to 2 extra wins last year. And I think maybe they take a step back without Bryce at the quarterback position this year.
Audience will not like that.
I understand that, but I'm with you. I think LSU wins the West this year. Yeah, I think LSU, the way I saw them playing at the end of the year, they were the best team.
That's fascinating.
I do. And this is somebody who has personally, not professionally, but personally been wounded by Alabama, just watching how great they have been and have the utmost respect for them. But, again, looking at the tools, looking at the players, LSU has to be in that conversation. I'm glad you brought up Georgia. We haven't talked about them yet, but – a team that has a possibility, a chance to go three in a row, which hasn't been done. I know Kirby's going to come in here and downplay that, which he should. I think
angle is he selling to his team about the chip they should have on their shoulder?
Because there's got to be a chip.
Yeah.
Well, you just gave it to him, the FPI.
Yeah.
They don't respect us.
the computers, man.
Gotta
be computers.
There's got to be great leaders and great coaches, which I've had the opportunity to play under some great ones. They will manufacture some sort of us against the world mentality. Mm-hmm. As an athlete, you know this. You have to have some of that anyway. You got to have some of that in order to be great. But to get your entire team to say, you know what, on the outside, they're doubting us. They doubted us 2 years ago when we had so many draft picks go in the first round and our defense came back and played spectacular. Mm-hmm. They doubted Stetson Bennett last year.
But you know
he won another
national
championship.
I think
it's
intriguing, though, because this is, because of tragedy, this has been really a very hollow, it seems to me, a very hollow offseason for Georgia. They have not been able to.
That's where the questions have been about the culture there.
Exactly.
And I don't have any. I know Kirby Smart. You know him better than I do. But I have a lot of respect for him. A lot of respect for what he expects of his players, not just on the field, but as people. There's just times where every team is going to have issues in the offseason. When you're talking about 18 to 22-year-old kids, that is just naturally inherent dealing with that age demographic.
It is, but the spotlight is brighter when you're winning the way they're winning, and when you had such a tragic event happen the day after the night of the parade. And so the spotlight was on Georgia. The thing I can say is, even in knowing some of the players, they've got some great leadership on that team.
Yeah.
Guys like Cedric Van Pran, who are offensive line guys that came back to play. They've got some quality character guys on that team. And you're right, 18 to 22-year-olds, it's no excuse, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You have to fight, though, I think, as a team, as a school, to limit those things and to tell the guys, look, we can't keep having these sorts of incidents.
Benjamin Watson and Chris Doering, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us, man.
Afterwards, I'll give another seminar.
I'm here for
the Skywriters tour.
I want to hear more of the story.
Even though I never went. We'll take a short break. Tony Barnhart may have. I don't think he did, but we'll ask him because he will be with us next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
As we continue here, final hour and 20 minutes of day one. Tony Barnhart with us. Of course, everyone knows Mr. College Football. What they may not know quite as well is that Tony spent 25 years at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, now commonly referred to, depending on your point of view, as the AJC. Tony, I bring this up because while many were away last week, Kirby Smart held a news conference. The school has been very emphatic about the reporting of the AJC, and from a distance, and that's all I am. Right. I'm baffled by this. You're right. A little bit closer to it.
Yeah,
explain.
And I don't have that much inside information. Obviously, it's disappointing. The whole thing, Paul, is a mess to me. And I've got loyalties on both sides. And I was just disappointed with the way things have shaped out. But that beyond that, that's about as much as I know about it.
Well, and I realize nobody knows other than, you know, the university council and Kirby Smart. But have you... Do you understand it? Can you explain why the university is so adamant, where they've gone to the point of asking, I believe, for either a retraction?
Retraction, yeah. Yeah.
It's serious.
And it is serious. It is serious. And it is, as someone who's been on both sides of that issue, it was disappointing to watch, and as I told somebody, it is a mess, and it was very disappointing.
But why do you think they're going to that degree? This is unusual for a school to, in my estimation, literally wage war against the largest media outlet in that state.
No, it's a fair question, and I'm not sure what the answer is, because in my experience, you don't get a whole lot of attractions in the business. But that's about as much as I know.
Just from your observation of what has happened and what we know and maybe what we don't know, how would you characterize, other than tragic, the last 7 months?
Well, I think anytime you have a loss of life, it's a tragic. And those of us who are fathers of daughters and situation, I think it's very, very, very difficult. And it will be something to follow. But yeah, it's very, very disheartening, and like I said, it's a mess.
That, assuming that the season will begin on time, which we know it will, what does Kirby Smart have to do, or does he have to do anything other than what he's already said? Because I don't know what he could say here this week differently than what he's already said in that.
Yeah, it's going to be
press conference.
It's going to be interesting to see the tone the media takes on this thing tomorrow. Do they press? Do they just mention it one time and the topic is dropped? And so I'm kind of anxious to see how that turns out myself.
Tony, you mentioned it's usually not a good idea. It used to be a cliche. You don't wage war with people that buy ink by the barrel. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's really applicable anymore, considering. I'm sure maybe you still get it, but I haven't actually seen a copy of the AJC in many, many years, so maybe, I don't know how much ink is being used.
not as much as it used to be, that's for sure.
It used to be, used yeah. to be able to buy that paper anywhere in the South on a right. Sunday morning, and most people did. But do you think, finally, and my last question on the subject, I know you've already answered, but where is this coming from a university standpoint? It's got to be coming from the top, doesn't it? This isn't a Kirby Smart decision. This feels like a Jerry Moorhead decision.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not quite sure which way to go on this, because I don't know. I haven't been in on the meetings and all that, but it's a fair question. What's doing it? And this is what, Paul, these kind of stories you and I have both gone through in our careers, is you really all have to let these stories play out. And because there's always going to be more information to come. And I think this is one of those stories where we're just going to have to let it play out.
In terms of what we will see on the field for the University of Georgia, that will play out as well. What do you expect?
I think they're a very good football team. I think they've recruited at such a high level. I told somebody else this today, is that, you know, they lose a lot of very, very talented players. They got a new quarterback. Mike Bobo moves up to offensive coordinator. But the fact of it is, they've recruited at such a high level, I don't think it has a really negative impact. Like last year, all the draft choices that they lost going on, particularly on the defensive side, five first rounders, Georgia didn't miss a beat. They didn't lose a game. No. And I think they've got that kind of talent. Now the question is, can they keep sharp? Can they remain sharp, or do they get complacent? I believe that once you bring in new players and they're very talented, they're not complacent because they've been waiting on their opportunity,
right,
to get to play. And I think that played a lot in last year's team. So I think you look at the Georgia schedule and you say, who's going to beat them? That trip to Knoxville on November 18 looks like it's going to be a large game. But other than that, who is going to beat Georgia? So I think they will be – it may not be unanimous, but they will be a pretty heavy pick to win the East.
It leads me to my final question. It's been somewhat of a lobby debate, Alabama or LSU, and
yep.
I don't know why I came in here thinking it wouldn't be that big of a debate, but I'm being schooled otherwise. A lot of LSU support.
A lot of LSU support, and logically you should say that LSU should win. They have a proven quarterback. They've got plenty of players. Alabama has all of these questions at quarterback and all these other issues. But I just believe that Nick Saban's got his team in full-blown revenge mode. And the fact that they get LSU in Tuscaloosa, I think Alabama's going to win the West.
Yeah, we perhaps have seen too much, but we've seen all of Nick Saban's career, and that's enough to convince me you're right.
It's going to be interesting. You know the media is going to pick Alabama because they always do.
Seems like.
But what's the gap? What's the gap? Yeah. How many votes does LSU get?
This is almost like in politics, the Iowa caucus. It's not, you know, so this guy's going to win, but who comes in second?
Right.
And is there Mo? Tony, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Paul.
The AJC owes you. You basically had to, you know, represent, you know, put on your council cap for both schools. You're a Georgia guy and an AJC alum. And right now, I think I'd rather be a Georgia guy. Let's take a short break. We will be back right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And things have quieted down, but certainly the coach with the most today was Brian Kelly. And Scott Rabelais knows all about that. Scott, the question, it's becoming an absurd question, but we want to know who's going to win the West. And I'm hearing a lot of LSU support. Are you? Where are you on this very prickly question?
Well, I think they certainly can. I mean, obviously, they won it last year. They beat Alabama at home. The season comes down to a lot. Like, they've got 10 games going into it where they're going to be favored, I think. And then you have the season opener with Florida State in Orlando, and then you have the game in November at Alabama. And if they can if they can beat Alabama again, yeah. They got a shot. They won there in 2019, you know, fairly recently. Played really well there with a poor team in 2021. If they can go in there and win that game, they can win the West again. Certainly, if they can split those two big games and hold serve in the rest, they've got a shot at the college football playoff. I would say if it was a 12-team playoff this year, I'd say they're very much likely going to be in it.
It's what I'm struck by is just in listening to people like you and Kelly and others today. I mean, there is enormous talent on this team, and I'm not saying he didn't inherit a good team, but I don't know what he inherited down there, but he cleaned it up. How deep is this group?
Well, that's the big question. I think the frontline talent, they've got some very good players. Jaden Daniels coming back as a quarterback. Blake Neighbors is a wide receiver. Harold Perkins is on everybody's preseason All-America team. Mekhi Wingo was an All-American last year, replacing Mason Smith, who got hurt in the opener.
And a lot about him, too.
Yeah, but he spoke a lot about him today. But it's the concern of depth, you know, a lot of unproven guys backing up on offensive line. They had to go heavy into the transfer portal again to restock the secondary. And that's not something he's comfortable with doing to that degree. So the frontline talent, really good. The backups, if they get some key injuries, that's the worry.
I apologize. We went very long with one of the coaches earlier, and we've been scrambling for time. We will get you back very soon. I want to go. There are a lot more questions I want. Scott Rabelais, thank you for an all too brief appearance.
That's all right. Thank you for having me.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.